Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce.
We begin hour two with me and AJ till noon. And then the guys are out, kicking off another ESPN watch party. So you can join us now or join them because they will be at Tom's watch bar today. All right, let's get to Payne. I see you. We'll get to you here, but let's get to Cash first. He wants to talk Rockets. What's up, Cash?
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing, man?
Good, how are you?
I'm pretty good, man. I was just listening to what you were saying about the Jaylen Brown trade rumors. I don't think it's going to happen. It would be good if it did happen, you know, for the Rockets, because we'll have some type of fight in the Western Conference, but I don't think it's going to happen, man.
You know what? I would agree. They don't have the appetite for it, from what I can tell. They made a big move, but it came to them, really. Kevin Durant wanted to be here. He let it be known. He made sure that they didn't have to give up many assets. Jaylen Brown may be fine coming here, but he's not going to tell the Celtics how it goes down. There'll maybe be a couple teams interested in him, but it'll cost more than the Rockets are willing to want to give up. And the question would be, now you seem very positive about it, but the question would be, is Jaylen Brown enough? Does the league overall think Jaylen Brown as the best player on a team, is that good enough? He may believe he's better than Jason Tatum. He may be going forward because Jason Tatum has to recover from that Achilles. And despite what Kevin Durant has done off an Achilles, you can't predict how that's going to affect the explosiveness and just overall athletic ability of a player like Tatum. We'll see with Tyrese Haliburton this year too. He's coming off one. Dame Lillard's an older player. He'll be back with the Trailblazers. So we're going to have examples of guys, and we'll see how they play coming off that major injury. And that was part of the question regarding a potential Giannis for Jaylen Brown trade, where Shams came out disputing a lot of people's reports that it could be a three-teamer or a four-teamer. He said initially it'll just be a two-teamer, and that's how it turned out for the Heat and the Bucks. It would have been the same for the Bucks and the Celtics. And if you're the Bucks, you have to trade Jaylen Brown, maybe, unless you think he can be the centerpiece of a Bucks revival. But if you do try to trade him, what team's ready to take on the salary, not just the current one, but the one where you have to extend him? Because Jaylen Brown's not committing to any place without a guarantee of an extension. And are you willing to give up the picks to get it done? So he's an interesting player because we know he's good. But I'll ask AJ here. Do you think he can be the best player on a title team?
No, I don't, honestly. I mean, I think he can be maybe a 1A to 1B.
I guess the question would be, if you were able to pay him what you paid him and built like what the Knicks built, could you still, like, he's not Jalen Brunson late, but if you could build all the things that the Knicks built, all the good players that they put together, the depth that they had, I think, yes, he could be the best player on a team like that.
Right.
But if you're paying him $60-plus million, it's very unlikely you're going to be able to build a roster that way because we know Jaylen Brunson took less to get all that done. So I would agree. Best player on a team, considering the contract that it would take, I don't think he can be, and I don't think a lot of the league does. So he's in an interesting spot as far as his value, what a team can get for him, and how much some team's willing to pay him. And that's why the Celtics are maybe getting off him. Because while Tatum is their cornerstone, and we thought Brown was too, if they're trying to move him, not just for Giannis, but now for potentially Evan Mobley, who no one believes can be the best player on the title team, it says something about Jaylen Brown's status as far as a player. He's a great player, but he's just in a weird tier because of the money owed to him going forward. Thank you for the call, Cash. I don't think the Rockets are going to do it. In some ways, I'm not even sure that they should because of the commitment they'd have to make to him. All right, let's get to Pena here. He wants to talk some World Cup. What's up, Pena?
Yo, what up, Bill? I wanted to talk a potential matchup with Mexico and Scotland. Can this be the most, I don't even know how to say the word, can this be the most drunkest game to ever be played in the World Cup between these two teams? Thank you. Have a great day.
We know the Scots, once they make an appearance someplace, they will drink you out of beer, alcohol, general adult beverages. I can't speak to what Mexico would do to a non-Mexico based location, but you would imagine the Mexican bars around are prepared for a Mexico home game. So I think they wouldn't get crushed because they just know what they're in for. The Boston area just simply didn't know what they're in for. Now, if you combine the two, I don't know if drunkest is the word I'm going to use, but let's just say, would more alcohol be consumed by those two fan bases than any other two fan bases combined? I'm trying to think about the world of soccer and the big fan bases that travel. I mean, the Germans would drink, but you are suggesting that the Scots drink to excess. I don't want to put that on them, but it is an assumption made by people about the Scots. I think you can throw the Germans in there as far as a contender. You can pair them with the Mexico fans or the Scottish fans. But yeah, it's not a bad combo to start with when we start to think of most alcohol consumed by two fan bases at a World Cup match. I don't know who else has a giant reputation. Maybe the Dutch drink. We know there are a lot of them. Dutch fans travel in large amounts, so they may just do it by sheer number of people. But per person, number of drinks, maybe the Scots and Mexican fans would top the list. What? Either way, the Scots have been one of the big stories. Their team's okay. The team is fine. They have one more group stage game as they try to get out of the group. But the fans have been the stars. I think the Norwegian fans, because of the rowing that they do. The Dutch fans, because of the march here in Houston. The Scots, because of their willingness to drink Boston out of all their alcohol. You've got the Cabo Verde fans because, hey, we didn't know you guys had it like that. That's kind of where that came from. If you know, you know. People didn't know much about Cabo Verde, and then they got a taste of the fandom and like, oh, you're like the Brazilians and the Colombians, just a little different. I'm trying to think who else has made an impression. Like I read up on the DR Congo fan and the gentleman he's representing. That's a dark story, man. If you don't know, there's a DR Congo fan who made it to the Colombia match in Mexico last night. And all he does is go to the game and not move. His name is Lumumba Vea, or Vea. That's a person from Congo's history that has a tragic and heroic story. It involves multiple governments and plots to kill him as he was fighting for the freedom of his people. The Belgians are involved. The Americans are involved. The English are involved. While he is standing up and he's become like this, oh, look, hey, that's cool. There's a dark story behind the person. Not the person it's himself, but what happened to the individual he's representing. If you ever want to read up on something. Just Google Lumumba. It is deep and dark, and that's just a Wikipedia version of it. That is not even the in-depth story for people who have actually researched the thing. Just the little excerpts of a lot of governments did not want that gentleman to be alive, and they went about trying to assassinate him. And it just so happens that a fan is honoring him. And if you don't know the story, you just think that's a cool thing. It's a lot deeper than that. All right, we'll go to break. We've got about 45 minutes to go. If you want to join us, the number is 713-780-3776. Bye.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Welcome back to the show. The number is 713-780-3776. We're going to hear in a little bit an awkward exchange. Kenny Smith and Richard Jefferson are involved. Jason Williams is the object of their derision, maybe. I'll put it that way. So we will hear that in a little bit. A couple of things from the World Cup. I touched on it earlier in the show. We had Tanya talk about who would drink the most alcohol. He put it a different way, but I tried to clean it up a little bit. What I've noticed so far, the World Cup is like what the NBA playoffs are in this way. It's more physical than I can remember. Like, we know, once the playoffs begin, more contact is allowed, less fouls are called. Now, there have been some initiatives with the World Cup where players rolling around on the ground, if you do it for too long, you just have to come off the field, particularly if the referee doesn't call a foul. The referee doesn't call a foul and you're rolling around on the ground, he'll come back and go, you got to sit on the field, off the field for a minute, I believe, and then come back in. If you exit the field too slowly as a sub, you get punished for that. You have, if you are trying to waste time, you don't just get a warning. They'll just give the ball to the other team. So they're doing things to clean up some of the issues of gamesmanship, the dark arts, whatever you want to call it, that people, particularly the viewing audience, have taken issue with. But the game has been very physical, less fouls as far as, particularly if there's fouls in the box, there's a level of contact that has to be reached before they will give a penalty away. Yesterday in the Ghana-England game, all my life I have seen that as a penalty. If Ghana's given that penalty and scores the goal, they beat England yesterday, and England is in trouble. Right now, English fans are upset that they didn't score, that they have to go into their final group stage game to get a result. But they still have 4 points. They're in a good spot. If they had lost, they have a chance not to win the group. And in fact, they wouldn't have won the group because Ghana would have had the head-to-head. So that would have been trouble for England. But the penalty isn't called. It wasn't even looked at. It didn't happen to the U.S., so I can push it aside. Didn't matter to me. Didn't happen to me. I'm okay. But if that call had gone against the U.S. in a match where it was tight and you had a chance to win it, particularly against an England team, which you weren't favored to win, I would be very upset. And the Ghanaian fans are. Not so much that they leave a curse on Harry Kane, though. The audio isn't great, so we won't play it. But the Ghanaian witch doctor, who said he was going to curse Harry Kane, has pulled back the curse. So he's a benevolent witch doctor. He goes, you know what? All I need you to do is not be Harry Kane for one day, one afternoon. And once the match against my country is over, you can go back to being Harry Kane. And whether you believe in curses or not, Harry Kane was wide open in front of the net with the chance to give England a win late. And that's a opportunity that Harry Kane on form puts away. Instead, he skied it over the net. So, witchcraft one, Harry Kane zero, if we are to believe that witch doctor has any power. I can't speak to it. I just hope No one curses me. We'll see if I get cursed if my package has been ripped into. If you missed the early part of the show, I have an Amazon package that was delivered at 6:30 in the morning. So it has to sit on my front porch for about seven hours or so, and maybe less. Maybe I rush home. Maybe 6.5 hours. So we'll see how it plays out there. Let's get to this, because while a lot of things are happening on draft night, the expected, you've got guys putting on the wrong hats because trades haven't been finalized. Even trades that were announced the day before, like Nate Amendt, who is the Tennessee prospect, was drafted by the Heat for the Bucks. Even Adam Silver acknowledged that he was going to be traded. The Cryon at the bottom of the screen said Heat make the pick, but a little addendum to the side was reported trade. Everyone knew where that kid was going, and he still had to take pictures in a Heat hat. I don't know if behind the scenes he got to take pictures in a Buck hat, but you know what? Honestly, I hope no one took pictures of him in a Heat hat. We all know the deal. Unless his family wanted pictures taken because it's a great moment, no one from the NBA should have taken pictures of him in a Heat hat. Go put him in a Bucks hat. Don't release him until the trade is official, because all the Heat did was announce on their social media, we have made a pick and the pick of Nate Amendt has been traded to the Bucks for a trade that will be completed later. I'm paraphrasing, but that's pretty much what they did. They didn't put any pictures of Nate Amendt in one of their hats. So I hope no one took any photos except for a secret couple with the Bucks hat on. So those can go to him and the Bucks when that deal is finally consummated completely. And it could be a while there. So, but that's to be expected. The NBA can't find a way around it because their league year starts after the draft. What should have been avoided is this. So you're going to hear Kenny Smith, Richard Jefferson, and Jason Williams. Jason Williams, we know, great Duke player, had an injury because of a motorcycle accident that torpedoed his NBA career. Here's Richard Jefferson and Kenny Smith being well aware of that and still making fun of him.
Williams from Duke University. So we saw some. Where were you?
Yeah, them diamond earrings.
I did. I know.
Got some diamond earrings.
Hey, that mustache was elite. How old were you with that mustache?
Don't worry about it.
I was saying the mustache.
It wasn't elite stash.
I'd never seen a 20-year-old with a stash like that.
Where were you?
I was hanging out with my family. I was having a good time.
You didn't want to come?
I knew I was going to be a lottery pick, so I just decided just to hang out.
I forgot 13 is lottery.
Yeah.
Hey, why such a big ovation for you? Was there something?
That was loud.
Chicago, I don't know. Well, you know, most of the people that went to Duke are from New Jersey, New York. So,
well, they also didn't see the future coming, so they were cheering, kind of preempt. Sorry, I apologize.
Wow. Hey, listen.
The guy
was a unbelievable talent. You know,
he was okay in college. He was okay. He was okay.
And his career trajectory would have been a lot different if he didn't like motorcycles. Yes. Yes, that's on record. I wrote a book about it. Yes.
I try to beat everybody to the punch.
Yeah. I guess everybody that goes to Duke isn't that smart.
Yeah.
Wait, he wrote a book about it. I'm agreeing with him.
No, if you can't be that smart, if you write a book. But anyway.
So, for those who don't know the story, as I mentioned, Jason Williams, in a bad car crash, it affected him in a way that he could no longer be an effective NBA player. Hey, you know what? Let's just bring it up. Let's talk about, he may be over it, but I work on a show where people take shots at each other. But while radio is my profession, I don't know that it's my life. At a point, I imagine basketball was Jason Williams' life. He put a lot into it to be the player that he was and to be the number one overall pick, right? He was number one overall, or at least top five. I forgot exactly when he was picked by Chicago. He had a bright future ahead of him. Now, maybe we could have seen small guards were going by the wayside, but at the time, no one had that big of an issue with the small guard being drafted that high. It was actually not that abnormal. It is now. I don't know if he's fans with Richard Jefferson. the colleagues. I don't know that he's fans of Kenny Smith. But if you don't know me, if you don't text me, if I don't text you and we talk about things other than basketball, keep the jokes to a minimum. You can do the I wasn't the player that Chicago wanted, but referencing the motorcycle crash. For me, I'm having a conversation. Hey, guys, what are we doing? You know, relax. We all know the story. I've written a book about it, but you don't know me like that. That's my level. If you don't know me like that, let's keep it off of one of the bigger disappointments of my life, even if I did write a book. Maybe Richard Jefferson and Jason Williams are boys. It's possible. They've been working for ESPN for a while. Kenny Smith just got there, but hey, maybe the point guard bond is there too. I'm trying to think. I don't have anything like the Jason Williams car accident, motorcycle accident in my life, but on a night when we're celebrating the draft, and you know, you bring up my draft and all the cheers, that's supposed to be a good moment for me. Clear case of you better know me like that. That's all. And if they do, it's cool. But if they don't, maybe a simple watch your mouth is all. It's all that needs to be said. If they're not cool like that, I'm sure everything will be fine. I'm sure everything went well after the cameras went off. It was noticed by everyone. I mean, I didn't pull the clip. I mean, I found it online. But everyone thought to themselves, huh, that's interesting. Both those guys got shots in. You want to call them? Hey, I get called dumb on the previous show. I get that. That's par for the course. Either way, Jason Williams has made a fine life for himself. And Richard Jefferson and Kenny Smith decided, let's remind you of one of your dark moments. But at least he got a book out of it. All right, we'll go to break. If you want to join us, the number is 713-780-3776. We'll remind you, if you miss parts of the show, some of the news of the day, as we keep moving forward to Brian and Sean. They will be at, if I remember, they're going to be at Tom's Watch Bar today as part of our ESPN Houston Soccer Watch Party Week. Ducky McSweeney's tomorrow, and then By the Wayside on Friday. And tomorrow at Ducky McSweeney's, you got a chance to win a $500 gift card to Republic Boot Company. That begins in earnest at 12. Before we get there, I want to tell you about Aqueduct Plumbing Company. It's pretty simple. Most of us aren't plumbers or even know anything about plumbing. There are things we know about. Plumbing is likely not one of them. And if you fall in that category, I got a place for you. It's Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Just go to the website. It's aqueductplumbingcompany.com. And whatever your problem is, they can help you out. And even if your problem is, hey, I don't know what this costs, I kind of want to know, they'll do that for you too. And they won't charge you for it. They got a free price quote thing for you. You tell them what the problem is. They'll figure out what that's going to cost. And then you can make your decision. They don't charge you for simply figuring out the cost of a problem. That has to suck when you get charged before the charge. They don't do that to you. You can also call them at 281-488-6238. That's 281-488-6238 to talk to the people over there. Remember, if you need a big job done, like a repipe, they'll do that for you. They're Houston's premier repiping company. You don't have to trust me on it. They've got a banner right at the top of the screen confirming it when you go to the website, which is aqueductplumbingcompany.com. From repipes to water filters to drain cleaning, they do it all. They're the plumbers you need to go to. That's Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Remember the website. It's aqueductplumbingcompany.com. That's aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We've done plenty of Rockets talk. We can continue that if you want. Got people going a little bit. We'll talk about the Rockets and their plan. AJ was a proponent of them trading up. Well, they're going to have some competition, it looks like. While when we talked about it before, we didn't know about any specific teams. Apparently, at least one team, the Miami Heat, are looking to trade up early into the second round. So if the Rockets are trying to get one of the people who fell out of the first round, like an Isaiah Evans, who is a shooter, they will have some competition for those spots as the Knicks and the Grizzlies are taking calls to try to get as much draft capital as they can. The Grizzlies traded down multiple times yesterday and got 5 second-round picks out of it. So they may be trying to make that type of move again, as there is some action and some interest at the top of the second round, because if you can get a first-round talent on second-round salary, that's a way to get a cost-controlled asset if you are up against it when it comes to cap restrictions. So we'll see if the Rockets stick where they are or they try to beat out some of their competitors for one of the better players who did not make it in the first round. So we'll see how that goes. Sanak taken late. The Houston Cougar product was taken by the Celtics, and Kingston Flemings went in the lottery, went top 10, went number 8 to the Hawks. So if you want to classify him as point guard of the future, that's fine. They don't really have a point guard currently. Their starter will be CJ McCollum. So AJ and I talked about it earlier. We think that's a good spot for Kingston Flemings to learn, join a good basketball team, and at some point when it's its time, be ready to go. As far as local stuff, the big thing that we found out is that hockey is on the doorstep of coming to Houston. It's going to be Houston or Austin. The belief is, for most, that Houston is going to get a hockey team. They got a rich guy involved who has plans to build his own facility, while our current rich guy and co-owner of the Houston Cougars, Tillman Fertitta, said he would be open to renting space to the hockey team. It looks like the plan, if it comes to Houston, will be for an arena of their own, which is great. We have some cities who share the arena, basketball and hockey. Others have their own. We'll see how it plays out in Houston if it comes to that. So, AJ, you would say you are basketball first, football first. What is it?
It's basketball first and football second, but I'm equally knowledgeable about both for sure.
I'm not questioning your knowledge. This is just about a question about if you had to add another one. Like, let's say, really, I should have positioned it this way. Who would you rather have season tickets for, Rockets or Texans?
Oh, Rockets for sure.
Rockets, Texans, and then Astros if we were ranking them?
Yeah.
Okay. So if hockey comes here or not, that is clearly behind the other three, correct?
Absolutely.
Let's just say you're given them, because I'm not saying you're buying season tickets. Fourth. They're fourth. Would you rank Dynamo ahead of hockey or hockey ahead of Dynamo? Be honest.
I'd say hockey probably because of how the Dynamo did go in. So, yeah.
Okay. A vendetta. Yeah. I respect it. Don't do my boy a certain way. Then we might have a different conversation. Okay. Let's remove the Glenn Davis of it all, which you can hear. 8 o'clock on Monday through Friday with John and Lance. Let's remove how they treated our guy, Glenn Davis. If that did not come to be, let's say 8 months ago when it hadn't happened and the hockey thing was a thing, hockey or soccer?
It probably still would be hockey because it's something new.
So. Got it. The Dynamo would probably have to show you something that they were a product heading in a spot and maybe have a player that you cared about.
Facts.
Maybe they do that, maybe they don't. We've seen how a star internationally can light up a city. We know Messi was a plan for Miami. They got that done, and he is still apparently one of the better players in the world if you just watch his performances in the World Cup, which led to questions after his first two group stage matches. Why is he not playing in Europe? Like, from European fans? Like, they had consistently ignored Messi now that he played for the MLS, what they deem, and you know, they're right, a lesser brand of professional soccer. And then they look at him playing like, what is he doing over there? Well, he got a lot of money and stake in a lot of different things. So that's why he's here. While there is no other Messi for some people, I think they would agree with you. You need a guy, I recognize. And while this doesn't involve the Dynamo, and Eric, I see you, I saw something come across that the Man City version in New York, NYFC, maybe in on Pulisic to try to get him on board to come here. I saw that come across the timeline. So that would be an American star who they're willing to, according to reports, and, you know, soccer reports vary as far as their veracity, $10 million a year to come play here, to jump start the interest in not just that team locally, but across the U.S., America's biggest star playing in one of America's premier cities. Our players have gone overseas because the competition is better. The quality of pretty much everything is better as far as just a soccer playing aspect. You want to test yourself against the best players in the world. You don't do that here, unfortunately. You do that overseas. Pulisic didn't have a great year for Milan, but at times he was their best player. He's had moments in England with Chelsea, moments in Germany with Dortmund. And while his career on the club side had entered a bit of a lull, he is still a guy who can compete over there. Wes McKinney, Tim Weah, Tyler Adams, all our biggest guys for the most part are over there. Our goal scorer, Balogun, is over there as well. So going over there is where you test yourself and also where the money is. If NYFC or New York FC is willing to give Christian Pulisic $50 million over 5 years, we will see if that's enough to tempt him to come over here, where now Champions League football is off the table. Playing against the best players in the world is off the table. But you are getting a giant payday to be the one after this World Cup to keep the momentum going for U.S. soccer. And if it continues the way it's going, at least in this tournament, and they go deep, it's not a bad play to go, hey, you know, the star of the team, at least the face of the team, we'll see who's actually the star once the World Cup's over. The face of the team who got America excited about the sport in 2026, he's going to be playing for us and in the MLS going forward. So we'll see if that comes about. And I bring it back to Houston. Hockey's going to be the new and exciting thing if it happens. If the Dynamo could secure a star, it doesn't have to be an American one. They try with Hector Herrera, who was at the end of his time, the Mexican international. That didn't really get the city going. We'll see if there's another player of acclaim that they can go grab, if that's the plan to get the city excited about the Dynamo. It would help if they won more, too. That would help. But absent of that, I don't know how the MLS rules work, because there apparently are none with Inter-Miami. They can just do whatever they want, from Suarez to DePaul to Messi and Busquets when he was there. All these international stars that were past their prime but were recognizable names wound up there. Maybe the Dynamo can go find one to get people excited, because they would drop from fourth to fifth as far as professional sports here, at least from what I can tell, if hockey winds up in Houston. Eric, you want to talk hockey? We'll get to you, and then we'll go to break. What's up, Eric?
Austin doesn't need one. They already have the Austin ice baths. But wouldn't it be better for the guy, Dan Friedkin? I heard that my rumblings that it's Dan Friedkin, who's the billionaire that wants to bring hockey over here. Wouldn't it be better for him to get a new stadium, arena, to get an NHL team instead of running from Chief Tillman, or whatever his name is, the guy that owns the Rockets, Tillman? Also, I heard Russell Stone might be out next year if the Rockets don't go deep in the playoffs. I'll hang up and listen.
Well, the belief is that a new arena is his target. They're going to look into it. But I wouldn't rule it out if Houston does get hockey. I don't think he wants to share and rent, or in this case, rent from Tillman Fertitta So it'll be $3.5 billion, which is the total of the expansion fee and the cost of building a new arena. So that's the plan. The NHL, if it comes here, whether it be Austin, well, here or Austin, it looks like $3.5 billion is what it'll take. That's the agreed upon price. And Dan Friedkin will explore whether he wants to do it in Austin or Houston. And a new arena is in the cards as well. So you don't have to worry. You don't have to worry about Tillman making any more money off the backs of poor old Friedkin. One billionaire making money off the other. You don't have to worry about Eric. Friedkin is fine, and he'll build an arena here. So Tillman can't get any more money, which apparently is one of your concerns. What else did he mention? I got to be honest. Sometimes I zone out. I try to remember the first thing he says, and then I kind of forget.
He said if the Rockets don't have
Rafael Stone, next year, that's why generally. I remember why I generally zone out, because he says things that he has no basis to say, and he'll just say it like his rumblings. You know what, Eric? After two first round exits, you could assume that Rafael Stone needs a deep run, but I don't think you've heard that anywhere. We can just assume logically that at some point this rebuild has to bear fruit. They might want to win a playoff series. It has been since the bubble that the organization as a whole has won a playoff series. You're two seed. You had the Lakers banged up and still didn't get it done, thanks in part to Kevin Durant being banged up as well. So, yeah, it's time. But you haven't heard that anywhere. You rightfully, or at least logically, think that could be in the cards. I don't know what status is. I don't know what contract he signed or when an extension was signed, if there was. That could play a part, too. Eric, do you want Tillman Fertitta to have to pay two GMs at the same time? You seem very concerned about his monetary status. Either way, we go to break with that. Eric, appreciate the call. I'm sure I'll hear from you on Friday about Toxic Avenger or something. I don't know. But anyone else want to join us before we wrap it up? The number is 713-780-3776. We'll be back.
Listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So it was the off-season college football story for the past month plus or so. Brendan Sorsby, the now former Texas Tech quarterback who... They tried and tried and tried to get him eligible, and they found the right judge, and he was going to be eligible until the NCAA pulled out whatever trump card, or the Big 12 did, whatever trump card they had, and backed Texas Tech and Sorsby down, which led to Sorsby telling us that he wasn't going to be a Texas Tech Red Raider, and then he went through the process of having the injunction that was going to allow him to play and be eligible. He got that removed so he could be deemed ineligible, which made him eligible for the supplemental draft. It turns out, for those who don't know, the NFL doesn't have to have a supplemental draft. They don't have to do it. And they discussed it among themselves and said, you know what? Nah, no reason to. We don't want to do it, which means Sorsby has nothing to do, it feels like, except train and work on really the most important thing in his life, this gambling addiction that they've told us about. So there will be no supplemental draft. The Sorsby camp is upset. Of course, now they believe they're being targeted. It turns out we don't always have a supplemental draft. Guys apply for it, but if the NFL deems it unnecessary, then they just don't have it. And it turns out, They can do it. I didn't know they could do that. And the only reason we care about it now is because Sorsby is a big name. But without a supplemental draft, he'll just be a guy waiting for the 2027 draft. He cannot sign as a free agent. That was discussed, but he can't just sign with the team as a free agent. He has to enter the next draft. So he'll just wait around unless they can go to another judge. But I feel like the NFL lawyers a little different from the Big 12 and NCAA lawyers. I don't think you're winning that one. So I believe he has no recourse other than to just work on himself, as they say, and be ready when the 2027 draft comes around. What a story. Somehow, some way, Soresby and Tech united. Now it appears the entire football world against them. It was just a college football world. Then the NFL stepped in and goes, we'd rather not deal with you and the consequences of drafting, even in the supplemental draft, a guy who is weeks removed from a court case and an admittance of having a gambling problem in a league who, while they're in bed with the gambling sites, doesn't want a high-profile player being questioned about his integrity. So Soresby, as it stands, he'll be waiting. And it's quite a difference, because last time I think AJ was here, we were talking about Soresby getting a chance. Or was that you or Michael? It was a Coug-centric conversation, so I don't remember if it was you or him about Soresby potentially. No, it was Michael, because it was a Coug judge who said he was eligible to play, and I was joking with Michael, how come your boy couldn't shoot the old school a favor and go, let's say game four you're eligible and not game three against the Cougs. Now you won't have to worry about that at all. No one will. It'll be Will Hammond or someone else in that Tech stable of quarterbacks. But we were thinking, all right, he'll be booed in every stadium he walks into. And now a couple weeks later, he just won't be playing football, which may be best for him. If we go and take them at the word when it comes to his issues and him trying to work on them. So it is interesting to know that the NFL, you know, just wield the big stick from time to time. We know they have it. And they said to themselves, do we want to deal with this? Nah. No draft this year. Let's not allow our teams to put themselves in a difficult spot. We'll protect them from themselves. We'll get together and say no go this year. So there it is. The joke was that maybe the UFL will come calling and Granato, even without knowing what he was about to do, said, how about, because he's friends with Kevin Sumlin, how about Kevin Sumlin go get Brendan Soresby because the Houston UFL team needs a quarterback. And of course, the joke that comes after that is what? Their nickname is the Gamblers. Do we have that song on there? I think it's called Fold'em. You might be able to find it on Sean's page or my page, probably Sean's page. But it would be perfect. The joke was made by several that the Houston Gamblers should draft them. I don't think they're doing that. I don't think Soresby wants anything to do with the UFL. So he will just wait, and we'll see where he goes. And quarterback drafts can fluctuate from year to year. I think Lance had him as maybe a second-round pick. We'll see how the quarterbacks who actually get to play this year shake out, from Arch to Mensa. Who else is considered a guy? Because CJ Carr is he a redshirt? Was he a redshirt freshman last year? So the Notre Dame quarterback, so he may be eligible for the draft. I don't remember. There'll be some names like Dante Moore, of course. So it feels like it'll be a better class than this past class. So that's the question for Soresby. I get trying to get into the supplemental draft before the other guys can play and you can't, and that affects where you get taken in a regular draft, but that's up next for him. So that feels like that's done, unless his lawyers try to fight the NFL, which generally doesn't go your way. All right, we're done for the day. It's not Rich Eisen coming up. It's Brian and Sean. They combine to go from 12 to 3. And then Jeremy and Joe follow them because the ESPN soccer watch parties continue. This time at Tom's Watch Bar. So go out there and join them. Hang out. And they'll do it all again tomorrow and Friday as well. Thanks, AJ, for filling in. He'll be back tomorrow and Friday. We'll see if the Rockets do what he wants, trade up, and go get themselves a player who can play for them this year. There's big competition to get up to the top of the draft. The Rockets will have to do less. They don't have as far to go as others, but they will have to give up some compensation. We'll see if they do it. AJ, since we're done for the day, what does that mean?
Big hits all day.
We did not talk Texans, but as always, it is big hits all day for Kamari Lassiter. Thank you to AJ. Thank you to the callers. Brian and Sean up next. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.